Hello, and welcome to the Female Founder Friday podcast with me, Lindsay White. I'm passionate about helping female entrepreneurs be great leaders, build high-performing teams, and create inspiring workplace cultures through innovative talent programs and practices. Because when people feel like they belong at work, they deliver their very best and businesses thrive. The Female Founder Friday podcast is all about connecting with the most incredible female entrepreneurs to talk about their journey to creating their own business, the mistakes they've made along the way, and how they view their own leadership. And I'm challenging all of my guests this season to take my leadership style quiz. And during each episode, we'll be digging into their leadership style and how it impacts the way they lead in their life and their business. And if you're interested in learning more about your leadership style and want some of my top tips to help you lead more effectively, you can take the quiz right now. Just check out the show notes or head over to highvoltageleadership.ca and click on the button at the top of the page that says take the quiz. Then you can share your results, connect with my guests, and join the conversation on Instagram by following me at High Volt Leadership. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Female Founder Friday podcast. I have Anna Gandrabura with me today, and this woman is seriously a serial edupreneur. So she is a real leading voice in edtech, which is so interesting to me. She's got 14 years of experience in this space, and she's going to tell us about her journey, of course. But it really is about her being a founder of English for IT, an online English and communications course provider. And she's also the author of English for Tech, which is the only ESP textbook that teaches technical, business English, and soft skills. So I'm excited to hear about this edupreneur aspect from Anna today. So Anna, thank you.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. And I'm super excited that you're excited to learn more about edupreneur. Yeah, who's the edupreneur is. Such a crazy word. I didn't know the word myself when I started the journey, because I started the journey as an English teacher. And that's an educator, right?
Yeah.
And then 6 months into being a teacher, I'm like, okay, I want to start my own business. I was pretty bold back when I was 21.
Love it.
And then like when you start your own business, you are an entrepreneur.
Yeah. But
an educator and entrepreneur, then you are an edupreneur, right? So edupreneur. So technically that's the word. That's how we created the word, right? Educator plus entrepreneur. So technically I would say like everyone who is an educator, but then building their education empire, their businesses, they're edupreneurs. I really think that this is like a thing. And like, I think like right now, because of the internet and all this online education becoming so popular during COVID, I feel like there are a lot of people who turned into edupreneurs, right? They were educators, and then they were like, okay, I can now start my online business, like teaching something online, creating a course online, or even building a school online. So yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited about these people. And to be honest, I really like to share my story, because I hope that someone's going to hear my story, and they're going to be like, oh my God, I can create a side hustle, for example, you know, or I can build the next big thing in my life, just like I did, you know. When you said how I started it all, you know, I just started as an English teacher back in Ukraine. This is where I'm from. From a beautiful city of Odessa on the Black Sea. I started my small school teaching English to everyone. You know, it was like offline. And I literally started my school with $300 in my pocket.
I love it.
Well, I mean, honestly, I might not even need this money, because, well, I did everything myself. I was a teacher. I was a marketer. I was an administrator. I was like a student support. I was like every single person I needed to be. Yeah. But I think this is what every entrepreneur has to do in the first place. And I believe that if you think that, okay, I'm going to start business and I'm going to like hire all these people and they're going to do things for me, Probably not. I mean, it depends. It depends. I'm talking about small business, right? I'm talking about when you start from scratch. Of course, like we're talking about getting funded and things like that. That's a little bit different story. But like when you're trying to bootstrap, this is what I did. You kind of have to be jack of all trades and master of every, you know?
It's totally true. Right? You are, as they say, the chief cook and bottle washer. And I do. Okay. So tell me if you think this is true. Like in my business, I felt like it was important that I wanted to learn about marketing, social media, branding. I don't need to be an expert. I now am at a place where I have experts, but I wanted to know how it worked. I wanted to know how my accounting system worked. Again, got to the point where now I'm just actually probably causing more problems than I'm solving. So have an expert. But like I really deeply wanted to know all those aspects of my business. Did you feel the same way at first?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, I think this is like first, I think the biggest feature that unites all entrepreneurs is curiosity, right? Like we are genuinely curious people, and that's why we want to be entrepreneurs. We want to like learn. We want to learn everything, right? Uh-huh. And the thing is that's like you said, you genuinely want to learn something just to understand how things work. But also think about for business, how are you going to hire a marketer or an HR person if you have no idea what this job is about? If you have no idea what kind of KPIs you have to come up with for this role, you know? And I think that you're right. I totally agree with you. You don't have to be an expert, but you have to know enough so that you understand how this role works and like what responsibilities this person will have in your company in particular, so that you can hire the best talent later, so that you can evaluate their work, so you can give them tasks and, you know, and things like that. That is why it's really important. But it's really also important to remember not to go down this rabbit hole when you like start learning everything and you like being a perfectionist, because like this is a lot of entrepreneurs, especially female entrepreneurs are.
It's true.
Yeah, you know, we can't stop until it's perfect. And that's kind of like stumbling block on the way to actually build something. Cause like you're never happy. You're like always think that this is more, there is something else you can do to make it better, perfect, and things like that. So we really, like female entrepreneurs, like we really have to be careful with this perfectionism there. So when we talk about learning skills, like developing this entrepreneur skill set, it's really important to stop. And early in my career, I attended, you know, one of the workshops and seminars for business people, and it was about delegating and always like, you know, well, delegation also is hard because you want things perfect, so you'd rather do them yourself. And I got a really interesting piece of advice. They said, if you are 70% happy with how they delivered your task that you delegated, it's amazing. It's like 100% you did this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect. I don't actually need to expect 100% from other people when I tell them, when I delegate a task, you know? So that was really helpful. And well, it kind of like shifted a little bit in my mind, like how I, you know, accept work from other people. So 70% is like perfect, but even if it's like 50% of how you think you would do it, it's also good. They can improve, you know, this is just the beginning of this delegation journey.
Well, then you can, and we're going to talk about leadership styles in a minute, but that isn't that great when you can learn to delegate more effectively, and then you can embrace a more coach-like role in your business. And so we'll get into that, but I want to ask you, I mean, you've developed what sounds like a really cool AI powered platform. How did you get to design and develop that? Like that must have been an interesting journey.
Well, absolutely. That's another thing, you know, like I said, you from an educator to entrepreneur, right? And then from a service business to a technology business. That's another thing. I believe that every service company founder wants to be a tech company founder at the end, like have a product, right?
Right.
Have a product. Yeah. And then I feel like it might be the other way around too. You know, like people with the product, they want to like start offering some services. So this is like our human nature when we want to have something that we don't, you know?
Yeah.
And I started off as a service company. Like we didn't have any tech behind behind it. And I always wanted to have something, you know, behind it. And of course, in edtech space, like there's so much technology, there's online school, one-on-one coaching, tutoring, you know, iTalki, this thing, you know, many things. So technically what we did, because we developed our content product, right? Because like you said, when you introduced me, I published a textbook that is, you know, that's our content, this is our, you know, product, but it's ebook and it's paperback. So we developed all these online courses. So we built a platform behind it so that our students can, our learners can take courses on our platform. It's convenient. Right. I was really tired of using third-party solutions. And then the war started in Ukraine. And unfortunately, we couldn't use the software that we were using because it was coming from a hostile country. Mm-hmm. And I was actually really in a bad place that back then because we had like zero access to our platform. And I was like really tired of like using this third party solution that I cannot control. And to be honest, within 5 months, we built our own thing.
Wow.
That was another like crisis management of right here. Whenever you need to do something and there is crisis, you're going to do it. So if you think that it's not possible to build an LMS within 5 months, you're wrong. It is possible. Well, I mean, I don't of course wish for anyone to experience the situation and conditions, but like, I'm just saying, me as a founder, I was so angry, at everything that was happening and all these inconveniences, you know, with the technology that we did build that. And then we started, you know, and for me, that was a really valuable experience because again, as an entrepreneur, I leverage my, UX designer skills because I was like learning this bit. Pieces, you know, on the go, like during my journey. And then I back in the day when I just started creating English for IT, I knew nothing about IT. And I decided that I need to learn how to build a website to understand how my how my customers think.
Yeah.
So I taught myself HTML and CSS and was able to build a really like, you know, simple website. Of course, I understood that I don't want to be a developer because I like being an entrepreneur and educator, but I had the skills. So when we started building this platform, I had some ideas. I mean, I could remember some things about these and things. And so anyway, here's like a lesson that I learned down the road, like, you know, about being from being an entrepreneur. You really, everything that you learn in your journey, it is useful and you will use it. You will use it. There is nothing like, okay, that's not, I will never use this. This is, I mean, I'm not going to learn this. No, you will. And this is, at least for me, this is how it worked. I remember the best investment I made. One of my best investment was taking a UX designer course just 1 month. I took the course, but I learned so much and I still use this information. I still use this knowledge that I learned like, you know, 10 years ago when I was just like starting out building everything. So yeah. And with the platform, you said AI, of course, AI is now like, now everything's AI.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
It's everything's AI, but I really, just like you said earlier, I really like learning new things. AI came about and we're like, okay, how do we leverage that to help our learners and to help our teachers? So we, of course, introduced some AI features that technically help our teachers assess homework and help students learn more. And we are actually have other ideas, of course, now to like implement like new features. But speaking of new tech, last year we actually built a Web3 feature to our platform. I don't know if your listeners are very much familiar with Web3, the blockchain, you know.
Yes.
Right. So we You know, all the NFT craziness that happened in 2021. And that was the time when I actually moved to Miami, and Miami was like the place to be for anything NFT, blockchain, and all related things, all the conferences, all, you know, Art Basel, all the crypto people moved here during COVID. And of course, I also got into that, went down that rabbit hole with the Web3, but I really didn't I really didn't want to do the same thing as other people did in terms of just, you know, NFT collection, created your NFT collection, selling your NFTs, and like creating this community around your NFT. I really didn't want to do that, although I could, because I have my audience social media. So technically I could have offered them some community and some usefulness. But because I'm an educator, entrepreneur, right? I really wanted to see how I can leverage blockchain for education. You know, how can we use this new technology for education, not for earning money of like people buying membership tickets with pretty pictures, you know, but education. So this is what we did. We built a platform to issue certificates of completion. When our learners complete our program, they receive a certificate. We used to do it like manually, which is not really secure and not credible because you just created, like, you know, you don't really have any credibility behind it. So with blockchain, it makes it, well, first of all, it's credible because it's one of a kind. It's never going to go anywhere. It cannot be forged, and people cannot fake it. They cannot transfer it. They cannot copy paste it. No, nothing. It's on blockchain. So now our learners, when they complete the course, they receive a pretty certificate. They can share it on LinkedIn, show their potential employer, and the employer knows that this is a solid, legit piece of document. And technically, this blockchain technology is kind of the first step for future, for future digital identity documentation stuff, right. You know?
Yeah. I, as I'm listening to you talk, I really love the way that you integrate the education and the technology and the really unique ways that you're using that to enhance your learner experience, like that UX piece.
Absolutely.
It's really important. But it's also, I hear you say several times that our instructors, our teachers are getting value out of the same thing in a different way. And now organizations, you know, that certificate lives on the blockchain. It can be trusted that they've actually done what is on that certificate, right? Yeah. You know that it's not faked or altered. So I just, what an interesting journey. And of course, we all know what has happened to the Ukraine, our Ukrainian friends. And we all feel deeply about that. But how amazing that you pivoted so quickly out of something that is so catastrophic and have just kept moving. Like that's...
I know. To be honest, I mean, kind of sad to say, but I feel like I operate really well when in really, really bad times. Like, you know,
well, that's an entrepreneur trait right there.
Yeah.
You have to be able to roll with the punches if you want to be an entrepreneur.
Exactly. And I feel like if, you know, to people who are listening to this right now and maybe going through some, you know, hard time in their business or career or I don't know, even life. Honestly, I feel like this is such a great opportunity to grow, because looking back at my journey, I can say that all these like growth moments happened when it was really like on the low. For example, my company, we did 4x when COVID hit. We did 4x, and I'm like, I didn't even plan that growth, to be honest.
You were well positioned. I mean, I think that's the other part, is you were incredibly well positioned because everybody started to live their lives online. And they need training and education.
But you know what? Before that, all my business was offline. That was this thing.
Interesting.
We were only offline, and we were not even like. I mean, we were trying some steps like towards online, but it was kind of slow because, you know, we had this cozy office and like all the team was there. It was different. But when we were like, you know, I gave up office really quickly, like I said, and on the decisions, you know, I made it, I didn't wait for a good news. So like I gave up the office really quickly, not to pay the rent. And yeah, and we transform again, everything like 4 months. And we, yeah, so that was, so that's another thing for an entrepreneur. Whenever there is like really bad thing happening in your business, there is probably a big opportunity to grow.
100%. That is exactly what it is. Embrace that opportunity, right?
Yeah. It's just the matter of, it's just you as a founder, you have to be really emotionally stable to see that opportunity. And as a coach, you probably, you know, you'd probably support me with this one that, you know, this is really important to grow. Like the most important thing I would say,
it
for
is.
A founder is your personal development. That has to be prioritized. That has to be prioritized like 100%. Before you train your team, before you help others, you need to help yourself first, because you're the only person, you're the only person, the only important person in this business to make decisions in such critical moments.
You know what? I couldn't have said it better myself. But no, I think, you know, that I think you're right. And what I find is there's lots of female entrepreneurs that are like, I need the technology, I need the team, I need the operations, but wait a minute, you're not ready to lead all of that. If you want to have a next level business, you've got to be a next level leader.
Totally.
So thank you. You lined that up perfectly for me. And one of the best ways to become a next level leader is actually to work with a coach that specializes in helping female entrepreneurs be exceptional CEOs. And that could be me. Call me. But I mean, I'm not for everybody and I respect that. But I think, you know, thank you for saying that, because I think that's really important.
Well, that's what I believe. And I would say that I mean, if you ask me what mistake I made in my career, one of the one mistakes, I believe that it was the fact that I didn't have a mentor, I didn't have an advisor, I didn't have a coach early in my career. And I didn't even think about this. Well, to be honest, I didn't even think about it, and no one actually kind of said anything to me so that I could even like have it as an option. And I believe that, you know, the sooner you have someone that could advise you, that could mentor you, that can coach you. I mean, it really depends. People have, you know, the choice to what they really want. Yes. The better it is, because this is this accelerates your growth as a person, as a leader you want to be, as a woman too. Because like we're female founders, we are women in the first place. It's not going anywhere. It's either helping you or stopping you. You know,
It's so true. And different things at different times. So mentorship can be really powerful in that a mentor has often walked the path that you've walked. And so they do have great advice, and they may be able to see things or have been through things that they can, you know, give you a heads up.
Yeah.
A coach really can help you in a very holistic way, like you said, not just in your business, but in your personal life and how you blend the two things together. And
sometimes
you need a consultant who has expertise and can say, here's what you should do. I know how, and I can help you do that. And I think you got to figure out which one you need at what moment that you're in your business. So yeah, I appreciate you offering that and saying, hey, this is a place I could have done this better. Because I don't think you're alone. I think lots of female founders say that.
I know that. Because women, we are, like I said earlier, we strive for perfection. We doubt ourselves more than anyone else.
So much doubt.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the thing. You know, that's kind of how you can help yourself doubt and stop doubting yourself. And another thing, you know, that really... what female founders have to, well, I think founders in general, you know, but since we're here on Female Founder Friday, right?
Female founders,
we have to remember about our energy level, because your business is never going to grow if your energy level is all time low I don't know. Yeah. So that's another thing that we have to take into account to be successful and to get where we want to be and to get what we want.
Exactly. So I want to ask you, we're going to talk about Anna's leadership style because we kind of touched on it a little bit already. She's taken my leadership style quiz. If you would like to take the quiz, which you should absolutely do, you can find a link in the show notes or you can go to highvoltageleadership.ca and there's a little orange button at the top that says take the quiz. You could do it right now. Just takes a few minutes. And what it's going to tell you, I'm going to send you a report about your leadership style and how you lead most effectively. And I'm going to send you some leadership tips too. So tell us, Anna, what's your leadership style? What did you get out of that report?
I want to say, can you guess? But then there's not enough context.
I love it.
If people have already taken your course, taken your test, and they're listening to this, they may have a mental guess. And
yes.
Now I'm gonna... just to test your intuition. I'm a supportive type.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Oh, how come? What made you think I was a supportive type?
Well, So actually, this is a cool exercise. So what I hear just from speaking to you in this short time is I hear someone who can lead really effectively, who can set a vision, who can get others motivated. And you talked about learning to delegate. And when we learn to delegate, we have to become a supportive leader because the delegation doesn't work effectively if we aren't supporting other people in delivering the work we've delegated, right? So yeah. That really all fits together in sort of what you've talked about here. Now, this is a situational leadership model. So we can be any one of the four things. We can be we can be directive. I want this done on this date this way. We can be coach-like, right? So where we ask a lot of questions and we probe and get curious. We can be supportive. We can be delegated. We can do all those things at different times. But clearly, supportive is your dominant style. That's the place you default to.
Yeah, I, to be honest, I believe that, I mean, of course, I can be directive too, and it depends on the situation, like you said,
yes.
But I really like it when I can see my team grow.
Yes.
I really like to give that freedom and opportunity to grow, to create, to, generate ideas, to execute on these ideas. I really like to be, I like to be a coach for my team,
yes.
supportive coach. And
yes.
Technically I don't want people just to to work for me. I want them to grow with me.
Oh, that's lovely.
I think that's my style. That's what kind of people I want to have on my team. And I would say that, building a team is probably one of the hardest thing because you have to work with people and that's so much learning right there you need to do. It's
yes.
more difficult than doing marketing or, other things. I mean, of course, everything's hard. Forgive me, marketing people. I'm not saying yeah, but it just, when you have to build a team, it's so many people involved, so many different
yes.
characters, so many different situations,
yes.
like you said, situation based on a different situation, you have to react differently. But I did discovered my leadership style and I did understand that what drives me is to see that my team is growing, they're becoming better, and I can help them on the way. Definitely, I am not working well with people who don't like to grow, learn, and that's definitely not a match for me and for my team. But for some companies, it might work. I don't know. But for a smaller company, you kind of
okay. So I love what you said there because I think when I work with female entrepreneurs who are building a team or growing their team, it is absolutely key. That if you value learning and growth, that you have people on your team that connect to that value, that's something that's important to them too. Because if you don't, they really won't fit very well in your organization. You will struggle to lead them and they will struggle to keep up. So no, I think you nailed it, right? When I work with organizations and they say, we need to add talent, we need this job, we need this skill set, I immediately say, that's great. We can find that. Let's find the person who's going to fit and has that skill set. That's where we miss and why we struggle with our recruitment and retention is because we actually don't get to the heart of the human. Who is the person? We can always find the graphic designer. That part, you can find that skill set anywhere. Let's find the graphic designer that really desires to learn and grow, that they are forward thinking and moving all the time. That's when you get magical, talented people in your business. So you pointed that out.
After all, you know, it's about soft skills first, then hard skills, because like you said, you can find a talented graphic designer, but are they going to have necessary soft skill set, you know? And that's why when I started English for IT, we started off as just a language learning provider, right? But then we developed a whole bunch of curriculum around soft skills, around communication skills, around cross-cultural communication. That's like our most popular because the world is, you know, globalization and all the outsourcing work that is being done. Companies, big companies, small companies, they want us to connect, to unite their team across cultures, because your English might be great, but like as a Ukrainian, I'm a really straightforward with my negative feedback. Right. As an American, for example, you're going to think I'm unprofessional if I tell you you made a mistake, like pointing my finger. Well, I'm not going to.
No,
but like, that's what we say. Like, we don't sugarcoat it. I mean, right? We don't say, I think there is a mistake. What could we do about this? That's a perfect American way to talk about a mistake.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. We're just going to say, you made a mistake. Can you fix this now? That's what we're going to say. And that nobody's going to get salty, you know, but that's an important thing, that you need to find that person who understands that, okay, I can work well, I can be a great designer, but like, I need to learn cross-cultural differences to understand my colleagues from across the ocean. Yeah. I need to be a better leader because I might lead a team of another, you know, two or three graphic designers. So yeah, so it's like I said, people are not born with these skills, might not be born, right? But they can definitely develop. So, but you know, working with tech people, there are a lot of people, they are brilliant professionals, they are amazing builders, they are amazing engineers, however there are people who don't understand the importance of this soft skills development and you know people skills, let's call them people skills, people skills development. They're like, I'm writing code, this is what I need to do. And you know what, I've seen it in practice many, many times when companies pick less talented, I mean, hard skills wise person than this, like, you know, genius, because that person can fit in with the team and they can be a good team player, and then they can grow as with their people skills. So definitely that's I think that would definitely help people in their careers if they understand this importance, and also for employers, that will also help them with attrition and, you know, with talent shortages, and be like more specific what they really want to have and what kind of person, what kind of talent they want to have on their team.
You're absolutely right. It's often, particularly in small businesses, because we don't have the money, the budget for HR support on a regular basis. And so we think about, I need to hire this. I need this skill set. I need this level of experience. This is what they need to be able to deliver. And that is fantastic. But it's when we work with an expert consultant that they can help us identify. It's not just, as you said, the hard skills. It really is the people skills. What are their values? Do they align with your organization? What are their practices? What principles do they believe in? How do they communicate, right? All of those things are just as important. So I love that that's something that you've really embraced in your organization as it's grown and changed and shifted.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's work in progress always.
I love it. Thank you. I mean, I think we just talked about so many things in this conversation today. It's just been wide ranging and really beautiful. And I appreciate, you know, the vulnerability that you have sort of offered us in terms of, you know, here's some things that I didn't do very well, and I'd go back and do better if I had a second chance. And some really incredible lessons that I think people can take away from this conversation today.
Thank you. I was really happy to have this conversation, and thank you very much for the interesting questions. And I'm so happy to share my story, because I think people learn the best from other people's stories, and what you do with the podcast is amazing. Sharing other female founder stories is great. And hopefully I'll be back.
I love being able to share these stories. It gives me so much joy. So thank you for that. And yes, we will connect again very soon. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. I sure hope you enjoyed listening as much as I did hosting this conversation. And if you did enjoy today's episode, would you do me a favor? Would you give the episode a 5-star review and share it with all of your friends? I would really appreciate that. I've got a goal to impact 1,000 female founders, and with your help, we can really amplify this message. Thanks again for being a part of the show. And don't forget to connect with me and all of my guests on Instagram @HighVoltLeadership. We'll see you next Friday.